Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Rising Coaches Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Bender. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Dr. Dish. Dr. Dish, by far the best shooting machine on the market. If you want a discount off a new machine, be sure to mention Rising Coaches to save up to $300. For more information, visit drdishbasketball.com or visit one of their social media platforms at Dr. Dish B-Ball. Also, if you're not already a member and interested in joining the largest coaching tree in basketball, visit risingcoaches.com to sign up today. You'll build genuine relationships with other coaches, have access to amazing content that will allow you to develop your craft, expand your network, and see job opportunities on our member site that won't get posted anywhere else. For more information, please visit risingcoaches.com. All right, we have a very special guest today from Jacksonville University, assistant coach Trevor DeLoach. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Man, I'm very fortunate. Thank you for asking. I'm excited to hear from you today and hear about your journey as you've navigated through this coaching profession, done a phenomenal job, and glad to call you a friend. But hey, talk to us a little bit about your journey, how you got to Jacksonville University.
Man, you know, I was at Nicholls State prior to here with Austin Clements for 3 years. I was fortunate enough to come over here with Jordan Mintz. I've been knowing him basically since he GA'd at South Carolina. I played at South Carolina my freshman year. So to go back a little bit, man, I played at South Carolina as a freshman. I ended up transferring, going to Chipola College in Florida, JUCO, for a year. Then I went to UNC Wilmington for 3 years. You know, I had probably six coaches. So it kind of, you'd always wonder, like, why I have so many coaches? Then I'm a coach. So it kind of built my network along that way, not knowing the path I was going to take. Then ended up taking a year off after I graduated, went home and worked. Man, I worked at BMW driving forklifts. So, man, to tell you how, like, God worked, My supervisor was a girls basketball coach. She played in championship games, won a lot of games. And she was like, man, you don't want to do this the rest of your life. And I'm like, okay, you're right. So he ended up GA'ing at Wilmington with Buzz. He had a spot come open. Ended up GA'ing with Buzz for a year. And it's basically like the year that the money that I thought I was going to get there as a GA, I ended up not getting. So I was like, nickel and diamond throughout my GA year, working like Wendy's, selling newspapers, worked for like Verizon, like the call center. So I was just doing whatever it ends me for that first semester. And then the second semester, I ended up like, man, you know what? Got on Verizon. I'm like, I'm just going to work my way up with Verizon. I'm doing coaching. But then I was able to get connected to where I had a friend that had a buddy pass to get to the Final Four in Dallas. So I was like, okay, I'm going to give it one more shot. Wore a suit to the Final Four, just in the lobby networking, talking to different people. They like, you got a card? Like, no, I got my phone. So give me your numbers, I can text you. So I'm gonna make sure we stay in contact. So ended up, the first guy I met was Ken Spence on that morning flight, 6 a.m. He able to get me in contact with Bobby Collins. And I ended up going to Lincoln Memorial for 7 weeks that summer. And you know, I did some recruiting. Then after the summer, Bobby ended up hiring me at Maryland Eastern Shore. So there for 2 years. Then I went to South Carolina State for 2 years with Murray Garvin. And then I was fortunate enough to get on with Austin Clunch for 3 years. And then Joy Mincy now. So crazy journey, man. And luckily to be where I'm at, just a lot of hard work and dedication.
Yeah, your story is very unique. And I think we all kind of been there in some capacity, I think, in our coaching journey where, you know, your finances are not always where they need to be.
And, oh, man. You know,
keep your head afloat. You know, like you said, doing multiple jobs to make our dreams and passion go. And, you know, it makes everything kind of come full circle. And then you had a little JUCO experience to yourself.
Oh, yeah. Man,
you put on yourself with JUCO and ended up in a really good situation at Wilmington.
Man, going from South Carolina to, you charter flights to JUCO, you bus, and we bus from Florida to Hutch. And I'm like, to Mullins, I'm like, man, dang, this is different. But I mean, it'll make you appreciate the grind more, you know, going through the JUCO life. You can be like a prima donna, you in high majors, but everything catered and you not forget how to work. So when you go back to JUCO, it kind of bring you back down to earth. Like, oh no, you got to work. So
yeah,
I don't regret none of the stops I had playing or coaching, man. It made me who I am today. So I'm proud of that.
Yeah, definitely. And you've kind of had some very unique spots too. Like you're continuing to climb the profession and doing the right things. And you know, one of the things that you're known for is obviously your ability to recruit and do some things and relate at that level. Talk to us a little bit about some of your recruiting strategies and how you've had success specifically in this new kind of like journey of transfer portal, transfers, things like that. Cause you guys did that at Nicholls and you also landed a few at Jacksonville as you changed that culture.
Man, it just, basically, you know, identifying a talent, you got to make sure you get someone that your boss can coach, not always who you like. So I think that's the first thing. And then just building relationships. I learned a lot of my stuff of what and what not to do from guys that recruited me. And so, you know, one guy that stick out to me is Steve Smith, man. He was basically, I'm going to be honest with you, he recruited me the hardest out of anybody that ever recruited me. He was at USC Upstate. And I was like, you know, high majors was on me. So I'm thinking like, okay, but I wasn't really paying him attention. But I listened to him just because things he'd say and how personable he was to me. I mean, he was at my football games. Like he went above and beyond. So it kind of teach me to do different things also, to go above and beyond in the recruiting world or doing things that people wouldn't do legally, you know, wouldn't do. And so I like that. I like that part of things, just going above me and beyond. You got to basically, one thing you got to do is you got to get to know who you're recruiting too. So one thing that may work with you, I may not work with the next guy. So you may be a person that's in the community. The next person may be a more playing time guy. So really not learning the niche of the person that you recruit. So that'd be the first thing you identify. And then I think the second would be who gonna help them. So like who they gonna listen to. So the person, like I try to get like between 2 and 5 people around them that they really listen to, always talking Jacksonville, Jacksonville, Jacksonville. So now it's coming second nature. Like, okay, I've been hearing this a lot. My people have been talking about it, so I feel comfortable with it. Cause they ain't hearing you but once a week, twice a week, that ain't enough. So you always got to, and you can't, I mean, probably me, but not a lot of people can talk to a kid every day. So, you know, you got to make sure you pumping that information into them. The people around them saying the same thing.
Yeah, figuring out, you know, obviously what they're looking for in a school and then who's helping them make their decision are two questions I always use, you know, same type of thing. And then the other part that you mentioned is like, hey, get to the village.
Yeah.
Get to those people that are around them that are going to have some type of influence or at least some type of, you know, perspective to keep everything in check for them. Because kids do trust their circle and hopefully they got good people in their circle to help them.
Yeah.
You've been at Jacksonville with a new head coach, a young head coach.
Yeah.
And you were at Nichols with the youngest head coach in the country in his first time as a head coach.
Yeah.
So talk about kind of you as an assistant, your role in, you know, helping a program with a first year head coach, especially ones that are young.
Yeah. Man, so, man, going with Austin, man, when I first went with him, man, it was just we both were swinging. Like, we both wanted to win. We both was hungry. We both wanted to grind. Austin, first head coaching job. So, it was fun that going there. We had 10 scholarships. So, that was during the time you could sit people out. So, it was always, I go in there like I came in at JU. I go in there like, man, coach, we can win right now. Coach like, nah, slow it down. We're going to take these guys, but we're going to sit out 3 or 4 guys. I'm like, huh? Coach, we got 10 scholarships. That's winning right now. So basically that's trusting his process or, you know, believing in his program and trusting him. I'm like, okay, cool. So first year we go in there, we sign 10 guys, we sit 3 out. And the next year, those three sit out guys was like really good for us. I'm like, okay. And we went 21 games that year. And then we got 4 guys out that year, second year there. Then we win the championship the following year. So, you know, there's trust in the process with Austin. And, man, he's a great coach. He's a great recruiter, very hands-on, very personal. You can have a call a guy, like, hey, man, did you call this guy? Okay, cool. So he liked the recruiting part of it too. So that's always good when your head coach like to recruit. And then, you know, coming from a championship, my last year winning the championship at Nichols and losing the championship game, coming to JU, I'm like, Mintz, we can win right now. We got the product that's here. We got the scholarship. Let's win right now. And Mintz like, okay, let's do it. Let's win right away. And, you know, we end up being fortunate enough to win 21 games here and playing in a championship game. So I lost in 2 championship games in 2 years. I got to get over that hump eventually. And I hope it's this year coming because I like the class we got coming in. But they just, so, you know, they Mintz more of an Austin real, like, high energy. He always, let's go, let's go, let's go. And Mintz more, okay, he get energetic, but he more, let me sit back and analyze the situation and see what's going on. But they both affected, man. They both in one. They both rising stars in the business. So I've been fortunate enough to be with great guys. And, you know, they both let me work. You know what I'm saying? There ain't no micromanaging. It's like, you work. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in what you think, what you bring to the table. So that's always a big part of things. Like, the championship game this year, Mintz got me with the board in the championship game. Like, huh, you draw it up. I'm like, okay. So you don't really find many people that trust you like that, you know. Most head coaches are like, okay, I got it, especially in that situation. So they tell you, like, man, Mintz don't got no ego, you know. So I like that part of things. And, you know, great work for both of them, man, you know.
Sounds like two really good leaders that, you know, empower you to continue to grow, develop, make you feel a little uncomfortable. But again, like you said, trust.
Yeah.
Trust you to be you, set you free. And, you know, that has, you know, effect on you too, because that means that you're doing a good job to earn that trust and doing those types of things, which is always important in a good assistant coach.
Yeah, that's true.
How was transitioning from, you know, a player playing at the high major level? You talked about JUCO and then, you know, going back to a mid-major to finish and then going into coaching. You know, what would you say about your experience as a player that has helped you as you evolved as a GA and as an assistant coach?
Man, so as a player, man, you know, you prima donna, you know, everything given to you, you cater to, especially at South Carolina, you know, Chipola, one of the best JUCOs in the country. I wouldn't say they cater to you that much, but Wilmington did the same thing. Now you're going to coaching, we just got to really grind and get it out the mud. And you really got to work your way up. So, man, I think they really gave me like the work ethic, because I come from, I came from at South Carolina. I'm 40 minutes away, my mom there. So I can lean on her for whatever. And like, that's my girl. I lean on her for whatever. And going to Chipola, where I really had to grow up, there's nobody there. We had no calf. So they gave us $105 a week. You got to figure it out. And we probably had two guys with cars. So we 6-7 deep in the car going to get some food, trying to figure it out. So that experience, man, it just made me who I am today, man. And I think, you know, things I pick up from, like I told you, I had like six coaches. The things I pick up something from each one of them. Like Dave Odom, managing. He great at managing. Get people around them, they can do a lot of good things and sell in their area. And one thing I learned from Rick Duggett, man, he's a defensive guy. Like he was on my tail about defense as a freshman. And I'll come in there just scoring. I scored the ball really well in high school. So I'm just gonna get buckets. But he made me focus on the defense end. And that played into today. Like I'm over the defense here at JU, and we was top five in the country in scoring defense. And then I go to Chipola where I had Greg Hyatt, who just got New Mexico State. And he was really good at skill development. Like he really good at connecting and motivating guys and really good at skill development. So I learned a lot from him. And involved now in the skill development part, it produced all conference guys, player of the year guys, this kid I had Ty going this year. And then I go to Wilmington where, like, you know, I wouldn't say my best experience. You know, I had coaching changes and things, you know, people told me I was going to do when I got there, but it wasn't the same. So that's one reason I would never lie to a kid to get recruited kid somewhere and put him in a bad situation. So I think I learned something as a player at each stop that would help me. Then I get with Buzz. Buzz ended up coming. You know, Benny Moss was there at first. And then Buzz came. We had an intern for like 10 games. And then Buzz came my last 2 years. And it was like, we was like connected. But I was like so vocal. And Buzz would get on me about being like that. But then, you know, by the end of it, he was like, man, you a coach. You a coach on the floor. It really made me think about like, man, would that be my next stop in the coaching? You know, everybody want to go overseas, go to the NBA. I think the best commercial that came out after me was, you're going to go pro in something other than sports. And I tell my guys that all the time, like jokingly, but really being for real with them, that you really are going to go pro in something other than sports. So me being able to get in there early on, be young with them, where I just really travel the path they traveling to help them along the way. So, man, I try to, you know, guide them along the way with that part of like going pro something other than sports. So Buzz was able to help me evolve my mind and like, man, hey, that ball going to start bouncing. And it stopped bouncing after my senior year. So, yeah, so I was lucky to get in at an early age and be where I'm at now to help motivate young men right now. So, man, I love that part of it. Just seeing, you know, recruit somebody, you know, the transfer, you might have them 2-3 years, 1 year maybe, just to see them evolve over the time. And I just love that part of it, to try to set them up for success. And we got a few guys this year, man, it's their first time graduating and they first person to graduate in their family. So, like, to be so proud of them boys, man, it's just, I mean, it's great, honestly.
Yeah, that's what it's about. And, you know, you value that education part and that you could see through it. And, you know, you modeled the way by doing that yourself. You know, showing them, hey, you know, high major, JUCO, mid-major, finished my degree, went back, got another degree. And I grinded it out and did that, which is awesome. Not to, you know, hark on this in any way, shape, or form, but it's kind of known out there that Nichols has one of the lowest budgets, if not the lowest operating budget in the country. You guys managed to win there. You talked a little bit about, hey, 10 scholarships. You were able to, you know, sit out a few guys and kind of work the system in that way. Tell us about, like, how did you function with literally no recruiting dollars? And how does that help you as you've kind of evolved as an assistant?
Man, I'm going to be honest with you, man. When I first went to Nichols, let me rewind. At South Carolina State, to be honest, we had $160,000 to operate with recruit, like with scholarships. So you got to take guys, pay up money, try to get guys on academics with some money, like a D2 budget operating at the D1 level. So I'm trying to, you know, we trying to piece together things and I'm trying to figure it out with that. So I went to Nichols. I didn't really think about it being the lowest budget in the country. I'm thinking like, okay, I got 13 scholarships. We're giving out pay up money and we give off campus checks. So I'm like, oh, I'm good. I got the world right now. So I'm just like, I wasn't even thinking low major mindset. I'm like, man, it's a high major situation. And you're not far from New Orleans or Baton Rouge. So I got something to sell. Thibodaux is a college town. It's beautiful. So being able to just get scholarships and have that and like off campus checks and giving guys pay money, I just felt like I had the world. So it wasn't as hard as you get when you get that. You just know, like, okay, now it's about finding talent, building that relationship, and just getting it done after that. So, and then, you know, Richie had success before we got there. Austin was a part of Richie. So you coming from a winning program. Guys don't really like going to losing programs. We kind of got lucky with COVID last year at JU bringing, whenever they was losing before we got here to get some guys. So that, yeah, I mean, I felt like it wasn't the lowest budget. It was the lowest budget, but it wasn't. You know, you got $1,000 recruiting budget, so you ain't really got to go out. COVID helped us because we couldn't go out. So now, Nichols, Duke, North Carolina on the same wavelength when it comes to going out and seeing the kids. So nobody can see it more than us. So I just feel like we can reach and get some kids now because they can't come on campus to see that they're in Thibodaux, Louisiana, and then they can't go see Duke either. So I felt like I'm on an even playing ground with those guys.
Yeah, but we signed a bunch of kids. I signed 3 kids when the pandemic hit in that March that all signed Division I.
Yeah.
They never were seen on either direction. I didn't get to see them in person. We developed them, and then they recruited. They weren't seen the whole time, which a wild times, man, to think that even happened.
Man, it was a lot of film watching, man. So I'm a lot of guys, like, staff here get on me because I like to watch mates, and then I go watch misses. Like, you can't watch mates to the fool you. I'm like, man, I need to see what he can do before I can see what he can't do. We ain't recruiting for what he can't do. We recruiting for what he can do, so. A lot of mates watching, a lot of misses watching going on Synergy at that time.
Definitely, definitely. Well, that sounds good. All right. So I'm going to dive into a couple of questions. You know, like, so this is a Rising Coaches podcast, and a lot of younger guys listen to this and or women, and they're trying to dive into the industry or find value in our industry and navigate through it. So give us a little coaching advice that you would have. You know, you talked about your journey and different things, but like, hey, what are some lessons that you've kind of learned along the way that have helped you navigate through the profession or getting into the profession just in general?
Man, I say getting in the profession, man, no job is ever too little and no job ever too big. So, like, nothing too big for you, nothing too small. I can't do that. Like, mopping the floor, like, Mincy, the head coach here, he'll mop the floor. Like, picking up trash, like, cleaning something. It's never too small. I'm never too big for that job. So I say that's one, trying to get into it, because, you know, a lot of people like, man, I don't want to be outside. I want to do video. I want to be certain. I want to be assistant. Nah, don't have that mindset. That's had a grind mindset. You know, get that job, because it's better to get a job when you got a job than when you don't have a job. And I think the biggest thing with coaches, man, would be where your feet are. Like, a lot of people think about, look, they get the job and look for the next job, where, like, man, if you work that job and be successful on that job, they gonna come get you eventually. Like, you still gonna have to network and get to know people and certain things. And I mean, clean up yourself as well, but always be where your feet are, because, like, if I'm working on trying to get, for example, I'm trying to work to get Florida, I can't get my best at JU. And if we feel like we got a team to win or win it all, like, I can't maximize here. So I think being where your feet are is the main thing that coaches don't do these days that need to be done, especially in this profession. I mean, players transfer and coaches trying to get to know players to take them with and transfer. Like, it's crazy right now. So, like, I think just being with your feet up, and, like, a lot of people, man, like, man, be loyal. Like, a lot of people just, you know, say one thing to you and go say one thing to the player. Like, nah, you need to be loyal to your team, to your staff, so then it can trickle down to your teammate, to the players. And I think that's one thing we do good here, man. We have a guy named Dr. Mann. We kind of voice our issues with. We had a meet with him today, kind of voice our issues with as a staff, and we're able to get on the same page. I can be transparent. My staff knows. Like, first guy here at JU, it was like, we got four guys. I mean, we had probably eight guys on staff. We trying to mesh, and that was so frustrating because, like, I work differently than guy named Jack Warren, Scott Cherry, or Vince Martin at the time. I work different from a lot of them. We all do. So a lot of guys used to work in one type of way and not willing to be open to the next guy when all of us being effective in our way that we trying to do things and we trying to get to the same goal. So, you know, it was frustrating. So Dr. Mann was able to, you know, help me talk with him and us talk as a staff to get on the same page. And I think we had one powwow. It was me, Mint, Scott, Vince, and we got on the same page. And ever since then, man, it like trickled down to the rest of the staff. And man, we was able to win 21 games. So, and we couldn't shoot at the time, so we was able to figure it out and get on the same page. So it was fun. It was frustrating at first, but man, it became fun once we all got on the same page.
Yeah, that's really important as a staff, and it seems like you kind of continue to grow and got better as the year went on.
Yeah,
being on the same page. I tell this to our players all the time. It's not that you're right and I'm wrong, or you're wrong and I'm right. Yeah. All that matters is that when we lead this room or we lead this meeting or we lead this conversation, that we're on the same page moving forward.
For sure.
And I think that's powerful, not only with the staff and developing a staff, but also your players, your managers, everybody, because if you got guys going in different directions, it never works.
Man, one thing we do here at JU, man, we very transparent with everything. So it kind of, it's hard for problems to kind of linger on because we're so transparent. Like, we talk right at one another, right at the players. Like, so they not saying like, oh man, what coach thinking about me? He just told you. So like, we being transparent, I don't think it's done enough either. I think coaches kind of be like, oh, I'm on this pedestal here. My players here, I can't say that to them. Like we raising young men, young women at the time with certain people. So like, talking to directly to them and not around, it just make them better as a person and make you better.
Definitely. They say clarity gives you power. And if you're transparent and you're able to do all those things, I think it's extremely important.
Yeah.
The other aspect of it too is, you know, not that kids have changed. They haven't changed. The times of the world have changed. And we continue to have conversations to be transparent. And there's like a mutual level of respect regardless of age. There is that assumed power of influence.
Yeah.
I think that's what's kind of happened. And you even talked about your boss of being a low ego guy or no ego. I just think that, you know, that's what's working in our game right now in our society, is people that are transparent, that are loyal, that do clearly communicate, that, you know, understand people and relationships, and
yes,
that stuff works extremely well.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right.
So what is this may be kind of an odd question, but what is one thing that you believe in that others may think is weird?
Man, I believe in – oh, that's a tough question. That's a good question, actually. Man, I don't know that I'd answer this question. What something that people think weird?
What is something that you do that's uncommon that you found success that, you know, other people don't do? Like a lot of people, oh, I work hard. Oh, everybody works out. Oh, I create relationships. Everyone knows how to create relationships in their own unique way. What is something that you feel like has kind of contributed to your success that may be a little bit different or uncommon than the average college basketball coach?
Man, I think that one thing I do is I get away from it. Like, some people don't get away from it enough. So, like, I kind of span out, like, at least 30 minutes to just get away from recruiting, from a group message, group chat, from watching ball, just, like, focus on myself, like, focus on my development with God, like as a person. And that makes me better, getting away to like 30 minutes, like help me better communicate with guys, help me be fresher every day. Like that's one thing I think that we don't do enough of. Everybody think like work. Like, okay, you could be in the office for 10 hours. I'm gonna get the same thing done if I'm there for 7, for 6, for 8. Like, you're gonna get the same thing done. You just have to work a little harder. But I think getting away from it a little bit kind of help you see the bigger picture with things, especially when you can evolve as a person and grow. Like, I love motivational speeches, motivational books, like whatever helped me grow as a person. So I love those, like the energy bus. I probably read it 15 times. Like, I learn something new every time I read it. So like, just getting away from it. Even like reading a book, you know, I did a I did a challenge, the 75-day challenge, and it really changed my outlook on things, my body, my mindset, like taking a cold shower, reading, like, and helped me kind of working out twice a day. So that kind of helped me along the way for a long time and got me on track with really taking the time out for myself.
Yeah, rule number one, never make yourself number two. And it sounds like you found ways to rejuve yourself and recharge.
A lot of water here in Florida, so I can just go walk on the river. There you go. Different little things. Especially being in a city like Jacksonville, is an amazing city, man. So, yeah. Like, being in a situation like that is able to have a different avenues to clear your mind.
That's awesome. I think that's extremely important. And, like, yeah, we are all basketball people in some capacity and relationship people, and there's always something to be done. But, like, if you can break your day up into different capacities to keep the main thing, focus on what's really important and moving forward and, keep progressing. Like, we can go crazy in this thing, but if you're not taking care of yourself, like, you're not going to have the longevity. And if you're not, if you empty your tank every day and you're not recharging your tank, eventually it takes that to be
effective. You got to recharge, man. Just taking a walk on campus sometimes, man, just admiring how beautiful JU is, man, it's great for me. You can make a recruiting call there if you need to. And I always take a walk. I started taking a walk and just learned so much about the campus. So now I got more success to the recruit. So always just trying to turn your mind and just be better as a person is always good.
There you go. Make yourself more resourceful. All right, is there anything else that you want to talk about or any questions I should have asked that I haven't to you as we kind of wrap it up here?
Not that I can think of.
Any last words for these young guys out here? You mentioned some really good things or anything else you want to get off about the business profession, rising coaches in general, anything else?
Man, to the young coaches, to the older coaches, man, chase success. Don't chase money. It's the money going to come, man, chase success. Because if I ever get a job, I'm not hiring someone that, come from a losing situation. Chase that success and chase winning and developing young men and not the money. The money going to come down the road, it'll come. Trust me. I've been there where I made $0 for 7 weeks. So it'll definitely come. So make sure you're chasing success.
When in doubt, you can always go get a job at Wendy's and get your 4 for 4. Get your 4 for 4.
Oh man, that was real. GA year for me was rough, man. I don't even know if the coaches even know this, man. I credit them for, like, when they want me to go pick lunch up, I'm like, okay, cool. So now I can go get some lunch. I don't got to pay for it today, man. So I kind of got, and I was lucky to be at Wilmington. I kind of got to know the cafeteria lady. So I'm like, they like come in and help me with eating. So throughout the GA year, they help me with money, save money. So man, I know all about that part.
Like you said, don't chase the money, but it's not as much money you make, it's how much you keep. So you can find a way, man. You gotta smooch the cafeteria ladies. You get it done.
You could be a six-figure guy and have $0 because you don't know how to manage. So you get that money too quick, then you don't really know how to manage it. It ain't gonna have it long. You're gonna be, I got six figures, I'm gonna go get paid and blow this money, then you getting fired because you can't sustain your job. So don't chase that money, man. It's gonna come. Chase success, chase learning, how to get better as a person, as a coach, how to better your craft, and then that money it's gonna come where you can sustain it and be successful for years. But
there you go. We gotta get you a NIL deal with Wendy's and get this thing done.
I know, right? Flipping burgers back there, man.
Big time. Well, I appreciate you being on the podcast today, and I'm sure the listeners enjoyed it and gave some really unique insights. And keep working, keep doing your thing, keep chasing that success, keep chasing that winning. And you're doing a great job investing in yourself and investing in others, and keep modeling the way.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yep, no problem.